This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, and self-control. And against these there is no law. The only problem is that sometimes the fruit, or the lack thereof, reveals the lack of a proper root. And today we're going to focus on the last of those items, self-control. I remember years ago when my oldest daughter was about 4 or 5, and they used to have this little children's musical out, and one of the little jingles in it went like this: self-control is just controlling myself, so I think that I'll control myself. Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is that as you read the newspapers and the magazines and connect in with the various television programs and so on, self-help programs and so on, you find that people aren't controlling themselves. In fact, it seems that they're less and less capable of self-control, or at least exercising self-control. Why is that? Is it a sign of the times? Is it a part of the spirit of the age? Is it an indication that we are walking away from our godly and goodly heritage and therefore are not capable of self-control? What's going on? And how is it that we have so much addiction, whether it's gambling, whether it's sex addiction, anorexia, bulimia? There are just so many addictions out there and the habits that lead to them. Well, today we're going to focus on the habit and the addiction. We're going to focus on self-control and how we can overcome these addictive behaviors. The scripture tells us that there are three main enemies that we face: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We like to put a lot of focus on the devil. You know, the devil always made me do it, didn't he? And then we like to put a lot of focus on the world. Well, it's the environment, and it's my grandmother, and it's my aunt, and it's whatever. The environment did it to me. But how about the flesh? How about my being, my mind, my heart, my will, my emotions? We don't very often focus there, do we? And yet, a large portion of the spiritual warfare that takes place actually occurs right between our ears. Well, maybe that has something to do with this matter of addictions, and we're going to talk about how to defeat harmful habits here today on Viewpoint with our special guest, June Hunt. June, it's good to have you back on the program with us.
It's great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you so much.
Well, June, how you've been broadcasting yourself for a very long time. I have a feeling it's been longer than I've been on the air. How long have you actually been broadcasting?
Well, our ministry is 25 years old, Over the Heart, and so we've had a daily program. Now it's a 30-minute daily program taking one topic. It could be dealing with a habit of any. There are multiple kinds of habits that actually we know work against us. But I also do a different program. I've done it for 15 years, called Hope in the Night, where people call and we talk for 2 hours. And I take different calls, but I don't go fast. I go slow to make sure that we're coming up with solutions for whatever the problems are that they're wanting to confront.
Well, there's no question about it. We need all the hope we can get in this day and age, and there is so much that is assaulting us, whether it's on the home front, the national front, the world front. It seems like, well, even Jesus told us that in times like these, on the near edge of the second coming, that men's hearts would fail them for fear for the things that were coming upon the earth. And so we cope. We try to respond to all of these different kinds of things in different ways. And oftentimes people slip into what I think psychologists describe as compulsive behavior that frequently we identify as addictions, don't we?
Correct. And many people would say, I don't have an addiction. Oh, well, yeah, I know I've got a habit of doing this, but it's not an addiction. And that's one of the things to consider. We have to realize, first of all habits are learned behaviors.
Uh-huh.
That they become so typical of a person. They're repeated so often that they become typical of a person. Well, but understand, habits can be helpful or harmful.
Exactly.
Not just harmful. Most of the time when I think of the word habits, if I hear somebody talking, well, yeah, I have a habit of doing that, it's typically bad.
Uh-huh.
But what we have to realize is, how do you deal with a bad habit? You overcome a bad habit by repeatedly doing something that is right.
Well, they say it takes about 21 days or something to change a habit or develop a new one.
Mm-hmm. 21 days to form a habit, and therefore you've got to do it over and over and over again.
Right.
And it's really helpful to know. But you mentioned, you know, the word addiction. I have a checklist in our book, How to Defeat Harmful Habits, and it's to determine, is this a habit or is it addiction? Basically, this checklist is answering these questions. Are my thoughts consumed with it? Mm. Is my time scheduled around it? Could my health be harmed by it? Does my guilt increase because of it?
Or my relationships harmed by it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Am I defensive when asked about it? Am I upset when I can't do it? Is my spiritual growth hindered by it? Have I been asked to stop it? Would I discourage my children from doing it?
Mm.
Do I hide it from others? Would Jesus avoid doing it?
Wow.
Does it diminish my witness for Christ when I do it?
Those are great checklists, and what I like about your book, June, is that you go through each one of these different kinds of addictive behaviors, and you break it down in such a way that a person cannot help but be helped if they have an open heart and an open mind, because they're going to get caught on the horns of one of those items, or many of them, and realize, you know, that's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Well, you know, what's so wonderful is God's intent is for us to have victory.
Mm-hmm.
He has not been caught by surprise. You know, it doesn't surprise him when we realize, oh, God is omniscient. Oh, you mean God knows about this? Yes. You know, we can think we're hiding it, but what we can hide here on earth is an open scandal in heaven.
Right.
So we don't hide anything from God. And so therefore, not only does he understand where our failures have been,
right,
but he also has the way out in terms of practical solutions. I'm big on practicality,
right.
So we've got to get to the practical.
Well, that's
solutions.
What the book is about. We want to talk about that in the next segments that come. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put How to Defeat Harmful Habits in your hands. Get it on our website, saveus.org. And we'll be back with you and June Hunt in a moment.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose his secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches. Yet, recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or order online, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
The IRS is one of the most powerful entities in America. They can contact your employer, embarrass you, and take a large part of your paycheck. Your personal bank accounts can be levied, and your life turned upside down. If you owe back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, Ameristar Tax Centers has a special free consultation just for you. With proven experience, our enrolled agents, previous IRS agents, know how to get you maximum results. Ameristar Tax Professionals are licensed to represent you before the IRS. We'll contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. Our customer service record is unmatched, and you'll appreciate our low fees. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help, and you'll discover your tax relief options on the first free call. 800-329-7800. 800-329-7800. Don't wait. Call 800-329-7800. 800-329-7800.
Well, today on Viewpoint, we want to provide hope for your heart through June Hunt, who is the founder of the Ministry Hope for Your Heart and a worldwide biblical counseling ministry. And she's been on the air for in this ministry for 25 years or so. June, that you've got about 5 years on me now. So you really have the upper hand here. But when we're talking about defeating harmful habits, the reality is that all of us have habits, and you say all habits are habitual, automatic, behavioral, intense, tenacious, and satisfying. So if somebody's biting their fingernails, is that a satisfying habit?
At the moment when they're doing it, they feel good. The problem is, what about afterwards? And we have to realize that since all behavior is purposeful, it's accomplishing some sense of purpose. For example, there are substance addictions, mm-hmm. Alcohol, tobacco, heroin, inhalants, and they produce something that is called mood-altering effects. They feel differently. If you have a lot of pain in your life, Chuck, and you think, I just hate thinking about what it was like growing up in my home. For many people, it's like I don't want to go there, and so they numb out by drinking. They feel different. For those who want a high, cocaine, you get this huge high. So they'll get addicted to the feeling, and they want that same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say kids typically get into smoking. Why? Because they like the taste? No. Their friends are doing it. So it's like, okay, we're sharing this. We're smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be, weed. It could be
right.
Marijuana or whatever. But the point is, typically it starts with doing something because of peer pressure or relational. They want to feel in on the in crowd. Well, but then later they get hooked by nicotine, and you think, and if they try, and many, many people try, well, they get jittery, they feel bad when they try to stop. And so it's like, well, I hate that feeling, so they will smoke, and it is comforting.
Right.
At the moment, it comforts them.
So that course, which starts out comforting becomes gradually habitual, and then metastasizes into addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, like the concept of typically even doing drugs, it's peer-oriented. It's not just all by itself. Those who do drugs, they start out because there's a friend, they want to be accepted among others, and they want the feeling of family, if you will, a sense of belonging. The problem is, and they get hooked, and then it moves into something else. By the way, I realize I'm talking about substances. There's also what is called process addictions, meaning gambling, eating, meaning compulsive eating,
right.
Shopping, sexual addiction. And the problem is, the Bible makes it clear, 2 Peter 2:19, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So none of us want to be enslaved. So what do we do if there's a habit we have that we feel enslaved to? Well, we need to know that we can be set free.
Right.
And so there is a model that I think is so helpful to understand what is the process of being able to literally be set free.
Well, don't you think that to be set free from anything, you first have to realize that you're in bondage to it, whether it's a habit that's not good or whether it's moved on to a compulsive behavior or addiction. If you don't recognize that you need a healer, if you don't recognize that you need help, then how are you going to be helped?
You know, you presented a great point. Because let's talk about the classic thing, the person who says, oh, I could stop any time. I'm not addicted to it, or I'm not, it's not even a real habit. It's just because I could stop at any time. Well, then ask yourself these questions. Have I stopped the habit in the past only to consistently relapse? Have I become abnormally preoccupied with it? Have I continued the habit in spite of suffering its negative consequences? Have I engaged in the habit more and more often over time in order to achieve the same mood-altering feeling that I had at the beginning? Have I practiced this habit primarily because it changes my mood or it comforts me?
Mm-hmm.
But last point, have I persisted in this habit even though it is harmful to me? So if you answer yes, you know, to any of these, it's either on the way to forming an addiction or you're already trapped and feel powerless to free yourself when you've tried to stop but you couldn't.
So it's not just and what you said was that this is not just a matter of your flesh, this is a matter of the spirit, because to what you are in bondage, you're enslaved to that which you're in bondage. And therefore, if you're enslaved in the flesh, you're not free in the spirit. And therefore, you actually are not in full and complete relationship with the Lord until you've overcome that bondage.
You know, there are those who would say, but I am, I go to church.
Uh-huh.
I do genuinely love Jesus, you know, or I am spiritually connected, but something's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I present. Did you ever do target practicing, or did you ever shoot whether it's an arrow or
bow
gun,
and arrow,
rifle?
Yeah. Uh-huh,
what
arrow.
What did you shoot? Okay. All right. Well, when you're shooting, let's say you have this target now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we're going to make three targets, you know, three bullseyes. Are you looking behind you to shoot?
No.
No. Are you looking up? Are you looking to the side? No. You're aiming carefully at the target.
Right.
My point is, I believe that we can be free of any harmful habit, including any addiction, if we have the right targets. Because let's take the person who is so many people, good people, they're saying, you know, but I've had this habit of smoking for years,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20 years, whatever. And so what they'll think is, I've tried to quit and I just keep going back. What you don't do, the wrong target, by the way, the wrong target is, I've just got to quit smoking. I must never have a cigarette again. I mustn't smell the smoke when others are, I shouldn't focus on that. Well, you know, if you do that, all you're doing is thinking about cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about smoking. It's the same as me saying to you, Chuck, whatever you do, do not think about a red cup. Do not think about a red cup that's 6 inches high.
Or it's like somebody who puts a sign on their lawn say, do not step on this grass.
Well, if I say, well, okay, if I repeat it 10 times, don't think about a red cup, don't think about a red cup, don't think about a red cup, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about a red cup.
Right.
So that's not going to do it. You've got to change targets.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is it. Target number one. okay, let's say you say, okay, I really want to quit smoking. All right, you've got to have a change of targets, because once you start making the decision to cut back or to go cold turkey, it's one of two ways. In fact, if I were to say to you, which way you want to go? Do you want to go cold turkey or do you want to taper off? I'm asking you.
Oh, well,
Chuck, if you smoked and so now you're saying I really want to quit, which one do you want to pick?
Well, I would prefer to go cold turkey, quite frankly.
Okay. So, no matter what, once you start eliminating cigarettes, your body's going to start craving that nicotine.
Right.
And so you're going to feel uncomfortable. So right. The tendency for whatever the habit is that we have is, I don't feel comfortable. I've got to do it again. I've got to do it because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel comfortable. It soothes me or whatever. Well, that is the wrong target. Instead, the target is going to be, I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Because target number one is a new purpose. God's purpose for me is to display Christ's character. Why do I say that? God tells us what our highest purpose is to be in life.
To glorify God.
It is Romans 8:29. It specifically, it says that those who are Christians are, quote, unquote, I'm literally quoting, are predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Predestined. He's already figured out how he's going to conform us to his character. So knowing that, then we say, okay, if that's the target, then every time I'm beginning to feel this craving, instead of me going for comfort, I've got three targets. Target number one is a new purpose. Target number two is a new priority. Target number three is a new plan. So you've got that arrow that you're going to shoot. You're going to go toward the target. You're not going to go over here toward comfort. It's going to be, number one, God's purpose for me is I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Target number two is a new priority. What is the new priority? It's for me to change my thinking to line up with God's thinking. So, target number two, I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with God's thinking. I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with God's thinking. I'll do whatever it takes to line up my thinking with God's thinking. Why do I say that? Because Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what?
The renewing of your mind.
That's right, the renewing of your mind. So you've got to have a change of thinking.
Well, this is what Paul was talking about. I think this was what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the weapons of our warfare being not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and that we should take captive every one of our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. I think it's the same situation.
Yes, and here you're seeing that there is victory as long as our thoughts are lined up with God's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't want us enslaved to anything, and so we have a new purpose. I'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the character of Christ. Number two, I'll replace my defeated thinking with God's thinking, you know, his promises. Okay, number three, this is the last one, God's plan. So we have a new plan as well as a new purpose, new priority, new plan. God's plan for me is to rely on Christ's strength, not my strength, to change me.
And his strength is made perfect in my weakness. We're going to pick up on after the break to get into some more of the practical steps here. You've certainly laid them out in great detail in the book, and it should be extremely helpful for anyone who is struggling with difficult habits or addictive behavior. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries, so put it in your hands, get it on our website, saveus.org, or call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be back. Well, it's always a delight to come before you here on Viewpoint to talk about the things that touch our minds and our hearts from God's eternal perspective. Today, we're talking about defeating harmful habits, freedom from addictive behaviors, and habits that lead in that direction. And our special guest is June Hunt, who has been involved in this kind of ministry now, Hope for the Heart, for boku years. And we were just tracing back some of our own acquaintances there in Dallas and across the country. It was kind of fun during the break. It's nice to tie the world together a little tighter, isn't it, June?
That's true. That's so true.
And relationships are very important.
Congratulations on your new book.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, we learned that your pastor endorsed the book, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and he's been a friend of mine now for probably about 10 years and has been on this program many times. Well, let's talk about the matter of eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia. This is a big one, particularly for girls, and it can be extremely troubling. In fact, it can be deadly. How does a young lady get into this?
That is a huge question, and I'm glad you asked, because as you said, it can be deadly. It is too important an issue to not understand what is going on with a person who has anorexia.
I've actually watched in person two such young ladies, very close to our family, and very, very troubling.
Wow. Well, since people die of it, it is vital that we understand. You know, all the way from Karen Carpenter years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have people like Princess Diana, who became anorexic and bulimic for a period of time, especially bulimic. Basically, the wrong belief that a person who has this eating disorder carries is, I'm so fat, no one could love me. I hate who I am. The only way I can be involved, or the only way I can be loved, is to take control of my body and get to the right size.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that is the issue in life is not what size we are, but it's to see ourselves through God's eyes. And the Lord loves us just as we are. And so instead of being consumed by control, I'm choosing to release control of my life and give the Lord Jesus every part of my heart. Now,
I like what you said in your book when you talk about where self-control gets out of control. We should exercise self-control, but that anorexic bulimic thing is taking self-control beyond its appropriate place, and it actually becomes obsessive.
Yeah, I call anorexia and bulimia control that's out of control, because they are very controlled, but there is a distortion. And basically, how does this even come about? Because that was your original question.
Right.
It's basically feeling they have no control in life, and the only thing that they could have control over is how long they keep food in their mouth. Not just what they eat, but how long they keep it and ultimately get rid of it. Meaning, if you look at the story of Karen Carpenter, and I tell her story as one of the stories in this book, she felt totally controlled by the music that she had to perform, the pressure of performance, and she didn't feel good about herself at all.
Mm.
She just basically only considered herself as valuable with her music. But typically, those again who are anorexic, they do not feel they have value. She knew her music had value, but she didn't feel valuable, and so she began to obsess over every, and typically somebody has said something about weight, and that kicked her into, well, this is what I have to do. So those who have this kind of disorder, they they typically are either, I could say it this way. Many are, it could be gymnasts, those ballerinas, models, the people in professions where they have to look a certain way, and they feel that in order to be accepted, this is what they have to do. So in order to accepted by others, the outside world, they have to take control of every single thing they put in their mouth. The problem is this, there are these underlying feelings of, I feel worthless because of abuse. It could be abuse in the home. Feeling inadequate because of unrealistic expectations of others. When I said the type of people that are often in this vein, they can be dancers, musicians, models, actors, actresses.
Well, the problem is you can talk to them to their face, and you can show them in the mirror that they are nothing but skin and bones, that they are nearing to look like a Holocaust victim, and yet they'll look you in the face and tell you they're fat.
That's correct. Truthfully, Chuck, I do not know of a more difficult addiction to overcome than anorexia.
Wow.
And it's what you just said. It's this distortion of reality.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone that my niece called me about, who is her cousin, and so I've been dealing with her. You know, she's weighs 73 pounds.
Oh my!
She's a counselor, and of course can't counsel right now.
Mm-hmm.
But she said God told her not to eat. God told her not to eat, and every time she eats, she feels guilty.
Oh, boy.
So that's a distortion, because then I'm able to take scriptures to show where everything God made, he said, was good, and that certain things for literal celebrations that were involved, again, from God, that, you know, feasts from God where people are to eat. And it's like, so therefore, what you have to do is realize what is the underlying cause, because in this case, you know, she's a counselor, so she wasn't the athlete or like wrestlers or gymnasts who have to have a certain look or a certain weight limit.
But it seems to me though that the reality is that no matter what kind of addiction you're looking at, you're really looking at a distortion or a perversion of a more balanced, rightful position, whether it's overeating, whether it's binge drinking or alcoholism, whether it's sexual addiction. All of these are distortions or perversions of something that is otherwise perhaps rightful. Self-control is certainly a rightful thing. The Bible says that we should have that as a fruit of the Spirit, but not this kind of obsessive, compulsive kind of control that leads to unhealthy behavior. And so you're dealing with all of these things in your book. In fact, every one of the things that I just mentioned, you've dealt with in your book, and to some extent, because they are very troubling. And when you talk about fellows like Mickey Mantle, who here he was, the home run king, his name was plastered all over the newspapers of the land, and he becomes an abject drunk. And who can explain such kinds of behavior? But we find it happening frequently among athletes and among movie stars and things like this. We'll talk more about what would drive a person with such seeming popularity into such abusive, addictive behavior. But this book, friends, is for all of us. How to Defeat Harmful Habits and Freedom from Six Addictive Behaviors. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put this very, very helpful step-by-step type book in your hands. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling. We'll get the book in your hands, How to Defeat Harmful Habits. We've got a lot of that stuff out there right now, and God is wanting all of us who profess His name to get cleaned up, to be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. We'll be back. When Jesus described the times leading to His return, He warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented, and it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Here at Four Seasons, we've been building beautiful, energy-efficient glass room additions for over 35 years. And now our engineers have designed a new line of energy-saving windows with our patented ConservaGlass Select technology. Every Four Seasons window comes standard with 19-chamber design, a stainless steel glass frame, dual-seal silicone, producing a U-factor that can save you up to 40% on your energy bills. ConservaGlass Select provides a super hydrophilic beading action that creates a smooth surface, which means our glass virtually cleans itself. And every Four Seasons window comes with a lifetime guarantee. Four Seasons gives you one free window with every one you buy. That's buy one, get one free. Call now. Your house full of windows could be less than $99 a month. And qualified buyers, make no payments, pay no interest till 2012.
Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 1-800-975-7700. That's 1-800-975-7700.
Any one of us can be tempted to habits that are unhelpful and perhaps ungodly. In fact, perhaps Jesus was tempted that way, because the Scripture says He was tempted in all manner like you and I, yet without sin. So apparently He could very well have found Himself engaging in habits that would have been displeasing to the Father, but He did not, because He exercised a true godly self-control that would glorify the Father. And the Apostle Paul tells us that do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit God dwells in you? Therefore, glorify God in your body. And that is our goal, is to glorify God in our body. When we exercise proper self-control, realizing that we are to live in a balanced state with healthy balances in our diets, in our activities, in our ways, in our sleep habits, whatever it happens to be, including our sexual behavior, then we will glorify God in our bodies. And that is then the healthy foundation from which we display the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, and so on, that passes all understanding and is a wonderful testimony to those in our spheres of influence. But this matter, June, we've been talking about various kinds of addictions, and I think one of those that is has become perhaps overriding right now is sexual addiction. And I have, I don't know if you've ever gone to our website, saveus.org, but we have a series of fact sheets there. They're unlike anything that I think is available anywhere in this country. They are distillations of some of the most important statistics of our time that help us in a very simple way to understand the hardcore reality of where we are. And one of those is called the sexual seduction of the nation. The sexual seduction of the nation. And it happens to be the longest of those fact sheets. I think it's 4 or 5 pages, and I just finished updating it today. And the reality is that no matter where you look, we're finding the sexual seduction of the nation, including among our pastors. Depending on what statistic you look at, somewhere between 32% and 40% of America's pastors admit, for instance, to having had sexual affairs during their ministry. And 37% of professing Christian women admit to personally seeking porn on the internet. Now, how do you even get your mind and your heart around these numbers? About 70% of professing Christian men admit to having a problem seeking pornography. So these are the Christians. If these are the Christians, then you've got to know that this is something that has our entire society under such a grip that you, I don't know how else you can describe it other than addiction.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about something that is escalating and increasingly worldwide because
exactly.
of the internet. And it's not blaming the internet. It is just the easy access mm-hmm. to that which is mood-altering.
And you can do it in relative privacy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It used to be, well, if you're going to get pornography, you go to some store and it's wrapped in a brown bag of some kind or some kind of brown wrapping. Now, it's entirely different today. I mean, you can access it on your smartphone just immediately.
Mm-hmm.
A sexual addiction, let's define it. Sexual addiction is compulsive. It is a compulsive dependence on erotic excitement. There's your phrase, a dependence on erotic excitement, mm-hmm. resulting in a detrimental pattern of thinking and behaving. Now,
and it definitely is addictive.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this has to do with when something is repeated over and over and over and over, which makes it a habit, and we're talking about not the healthy sexual relationship as God planned for human beings who are married in the context of a committed love relationship of marriage. The type of dependence that typically takes place, we're talking about multiple experiences, sexual experiences a day, and whether it's with self or someone else, but the point is the brain chemistry, let me just talk about brain chemistry, the
mm-hmm.
same excitement that cocaine gives, it in terms of the chemicals secreted in the brain when cocaine is used, is the same area of the brain that is affected through the sexual act. Understand, you know, God created the sexual act for good. It's designed for bonding and marriage. But in a sexual addiction, it's not bonding intimacy with a person. It is a dependence on this erotic excitement. And that's helpful to understand because there are wives who say, I just don't feel right about our sexual relationship. And it's because she senses, she hasn't understood, she hasn't analyzed it, she doesn't know to do this. But if there is a sexual addiction that her husband has, he can be using her as a sex object, not for bonding in marriage, but purely for eroticism.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helpful to grasp that what should be positive in marriage can actually be using another person.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are experts in this field will let you know that there needs to be a time of abstinence, even in a marriage relationship, where you think, but this is supposed to be right. Well, yes, it is supposed to be right, and it is right when the, I'm going to use this phrase, when the brain chemistry is now back to normal. So there are some things specifically to do to get that craving, that obsessing dealt with, because there is an obsession. It's like I obsess. That's with an abnormal thought.
Mm-hmm.
Then the compulsion, the word compulsion means I act out
mm-hmm.
what I do, what I'm obsessing over.
Well, men do this oftentimes through pornography,
yes.
whether it's on the internet or in various other forms. In fact, all you have to do is go into a grocery store and just stand in line to check out, and you're going to be faced with quasi porn just staring you in the face on the front of half of the magazines. It's what you might call soft porn. And so all of this is designed specifically to excite the attention of men and or women, and it is it plays with our the flesh, the carnal nature. And it's no mistake that movie a while back was called Carnal Knowledge, because it was focusing on the carnal relationship, which the scripture says is at war with God. And so when we allow ourselves to drift off into these improper expressions and seeking of sexual behavior, we're actually setting ourselves up at war with God himself, aren't we?
That's a great point, because there is a spiritual component of mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
I think what's at issue is when we have any kind of out-of-balance relationship with an object or a behavior, and I say relationship because it's like they're saying, I can't live without it. In
mm-hmm.
fact, with an addiction, it is the assumption, I have to have it in order to live. I have to have it.
Yeah.
I have to have it. So that means all relationships are secondary or non-existent. Nothing is priority except whatever the addiction is. But to understand that there are people every year, there are thousands of people who get free every year. You name the addiction, there is freedom. But it takes focus. It's not just saying, oh, okay, well, I'll just quit tomorrow. There has to be a plan. You have to have a new purpose to be conformed to the character of Christ, a new
mm-hmm.
priority. I'm going to line up my thinking with God's thinking, and I'm going to have a plan. That plan is absolutely crucial. My co-host, part of his testimony is he had a sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I dedicated this book, How to Feed Harmful Habits, to him
mm-hmm.
because he literally, years ago, when we would have calls that would deal with sexual addiction, he told me what to focus on, what to emphasize, and I have to give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm known for knowing a lot about sexual addiction. Well, I got that knowledge from my friend Jim Criss,
mm-hmm.
who was superb, and that's what he does today,
mm-hmm.
is he deals, he's a counselor, and he deals with groups, certainly it's one-on-one counseling, but the point is, whenever we have struggled, whatever our struggle has been, and we've all struggled, we've all failed, we've all gone, why did I do this? I can't believe I did this. Well, that becomes your platform to help others. That
right.
becomes your platform to have compassion, and instead of arrogant living,
Right.
You know what it's like to hurt. You know what it's like to fail. You know what it's like to say, I can't believe it. I can't seem to get over this. Well, you know, when you do get victory, and victory is possible with no matter what the struggle is, whatever it is, you can know, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yeah.
So you apply that, but you have to work the plan.
Well, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. You got to pay the price. You've got to sacrifice for your liberty. And you've laid out the plan, the priority, and the plan, and so on. You've given so much help here in the book with your various lists and so on. It's very hard for someone to dance around this. It's going to be very, very helpful, and appreciate your providing this to the body of Christ, June, because there's so many people caught up in it. Friends, the reality is that every one of us could be caught up in any of these things, and God wants us to walk in freedom. And June Hunt wants you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in freedom, and so does the Lord. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put the book How to Defeat Harmful Habits in your hands. Just call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. And again, can I urge you to become a partner with us? Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, including today, by the way. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and let's all walk in freedom in Christ.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.